Last Sunday, Father Matthew and myself and Sister Julieta, who oversees our confirmation program, and about 50, 60 confirmation students got on a school bus. When's the last time you've been on a school bus? And it was a blast because we got on that bus to go on a pilgrimage. A pilgrimage. And a pilgrimage is a little journey that you take, often with other people, so you might have a better understanding of who you are and what God's mission is for you, or who we are and what is God's mission for us. And so we made this little pilgrimage to the Cathedral of St. Paul, where in 4 or 5 weeks our youth will be confirmed by the bishop. It was great, and just like on any pilgrimage, just like those Israelites, when they came out of Egypt to the Promised Land, they had to stop every now and then. And one of the things that they did when they stopped is what we did when we made our first stop. Our first stop was at a church in downtown St. Paul called St. Mary's. This beautiful old church, which is great to see. And we stopped there, and we had Mass. Because we gather together and we ask God to bless us, to bless our pilgrimage, to bless what we're about, to help us to open ourselves to the gift of the Holy Spirit. So it was wonderful. We gathered there, and then having rested for a little while, we got back on the bus. Much more easy. I mean, you think a bus is bad? Try traveling through Israel on foot and through the desert of Egypt on by foot and by camel. So school bus, easy. So we then made it up to the cathedral. It's a beautiful cathedral. It ranks right up there with the cathedrals in Europe. And of course, one of my favorite things to do is we went up and we went by the high pulpit where the bishop preaches from. And I pointed out to the youth what my father had told me, although he had never seen it. My father, the master of all trivia, and he said, "Go 5 pews down from the pulpit, and there you'll see a little silver plaque, and it says, 'President John F. Kennedy sat here.'" So someday maybe you'll be president, and we'll put a little plaque here. Maybe. All right. I'll vote for you early and often. And but it's kind of cool. But then we went and did a little tour of the cathedral, and we walk behind the high altar, and there's this shrine of nations where they have statues of, I think, 7 different nations that were where the immigrants had come here in the mid to late 1800s. So one to the Czech peoples, or the German peoples. Of course, the statue to Saint to the Irish people should have been Saint Kevin, but it was Saint Patrick. And then we had the one for the French Canadians, and Saint John the Baptist, whom we heard about today's our gospel. St. John the Baptist is a man in the desert, and he saw Jesus, and he knew that this isn't simply Jesus, but he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And one way that you can always know in art who John the Baptist is that he's always pointing to Jesus, the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God. Behold, he's getting our attention to go from ourselves and from everything else around us to be focused on Jesus, the Lamb of God. But at this statue in the cathedral of St. John the Baptist, who's always pointing, he's not pointing out this way, but he's pointing down towards this side altar where his statue was. And so I asked the youth, why is he pointing down? He should be pointing out. Finally, one of the brilliant youth, and there were 60 brilliant youth with us, said, "Well, that's because this is where Mass is, and that's where the bread and the wine will become the body and blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God." We are invited to behold the same Lamb of God. And St. John the Baptist said that this Lamb of God was the one upon whom the Spirit descended, rested in a powerful way. He says, and remains with him. Use the word remains. So remains means like it's not going to go away. Remains has a sense of intimacy. In the Gospel of St. John, remain in him as he remains in you. This closeness that Jesus had. But the Spirit of God was given to Jesus and made manifest through Jesus, not just so he could be aware of his Father's presence, but so that he might do his Father's will. He might live the mission of the Father. So as we, as on pilgrimage, continued our tour, began to ask the question, may we be filled with the same Spirit. May the Spirit remain with us so we might know God's presence always. May the Spirit be with us that, just like St. John the Baptist, we might know what our mission is in the world. Now, pilgrimages are never easy. Well, maybe they can be, but they're not supposed to be easy. I mean, you make a pilgrimage. When I made pilgrimages, whether it's Worth World Youth Day or traveling with 60 youth in a bus bouncing up and down, you realize that we're to discover something about who we are on God's mission. And so too for us. So we have a little respite here right now on our pilgrimage. Our pilgrimage, which is out there, we rest here for a few moments to receive the Spirit. But sometimes we become comfortable. And so we're called to get uncomfortable sometimes. Sometimes the way we get uncomfortable is that you go to sit in your pew and someone else is sitting there. You go, what the heck, you're in my pew. Or maybe you're like all kinds of things. Like all of a sudden you're on your way to church and your kid says, Mom, I gotta go to the bathroom. We just left home. I know, but I need to go. Whatever it is. Life is what it is. So one of the ways that we get uncomfortable every week is that a basket goes by. And don't you hate it when the priest talks about money? I mean, I didn't have to have a class on that in the seminary to know that everybody hates it when the priest talks about money. Because, see, money is that one thing that we love to kind of, well, at least for me, I like to hold on, you know, to, as Daffy Duck said, greed is my creed. I mean, like, we just like to hold it and to let go of it. Whoa. And, of course, this year, you know, for the last 6 months, it's not just like let go of it. Like, hey, let's do a little project that costs $1 billion. So can you give $100 million, you know, so sell your houses and all that. And it's like, Father, can you just relax for a moment? But as anyone knows who's been on a pilgrimage, you got to keep moving forward. So we keep getting pressed. So even this week, you'll get another letter from me about our stewardship, about our tithe, our call to be a people that put our trust in God by tithing to him. By saying, Lord, take this portion of my income so that the church may do what the church needs to do. So when that letter comes to your mailbox, don't just throw it away. Get uncomfortable and open it and pray. And ponder, participate. There's another way we can get uncomfortable this week. On Thursday and next Sunday, we're going to show a movie called Unplanned. Unplanned is about a person who used to work at Planned Parenthood, had this conversion of heart, became very pro-life. And in case you haven't noticed, in like 10 months, there's going to be an election. I know no one's noticed it. You can't see anything on TV about it right now. And I don't know about you, but like elections are like crazy time. And one of the issues that is most crazy about it all is abortion. Like, how do we talk about it? How do we engage in a conversation about it? Well, I don't want to talk about it. Don't bring it up. Don't say nothing. No, let's just keep moving forward. No. And yet, as our Holy Father said last week, it is the issue. So how do we engage in that? How do we hear one another? So we're not simply going to watch a movie, which I invite you all to. But we're going to have some conversation afterwards with one another so we can listen to you. Listen maybe to your pain or your story. So as we seek the truth, we might do so in charity always. because our pilgrimage has to continue. We don't get just to say, I don't have to worry about it anymore. And it's our pilgrimage. See, that's why we gather as the body of Christ. That's why the Israelites gathered in the desert together. They didn't go out to their own little tent. Moses said, get out of your tents and come together. And that's what we do here. We come together so that we can rub elbows and talk to one another and listen to one another and carry one another's grief and pain and joys. Because we're on pilgrimage together. And it's not the end of the story, though. See, last Sunday on our pilgrimage, after we left the cathedral, we made one more stop on our pilgrimage to Sebastian Joe's. And we had some ice cream. I had chocolate raspberry. 95% of the kids had Oreo. You see, God realizes that the people of God need times of joy in their life, because those moments of joy are to remind us of the joy that's before us in heaven. That God calls all of us to be with him forever in a place where the ice cream never melts, but it's never too cold either. In a place where God's love satisfies everything. That's what our pilgrimage is ultimately about. So in 1,000 years, when we gather up in heaven, we have a great big OLG 1,000th anniversary celebration, 1,070 years, sorry. We'll talk about all the amazing things that God did in our midst and that we had the privilege to be a part of, and how times it made us uncomfortable, at times how it called us forth, at times how we rejoiced, at times how we celebrated, at times how we sung. We did it together. We did it with God leading us, because we, like John the Baptist, beheld the Lamb of God.